Well, hello and welcome. It's great to be with you. And thank you so much for joining us today. We'll be meeting online and we're now meeting in person as a church as well. So we're excited that we're able to meet together. You know, we're continuing our series in the book of Haggai, and we're looking at the idea of first things first. And last time that we were together, or if you watched and we were together as in person at Church Centre, we took the theme of looking at kingdom priority, and today our theme is kingdom perspective. Do you know, our priorities in life influence our perspective. To put it another way, what we value will have a tremendous bearing on how we view and what we view. What we view and how we view life. So the things that we value in life, the things that we prioritize in life, we make a priority, they will have a huge influence on our outlook, our perspective, or on how we view our lives. So thinking about this idea of perspective this morning, we should be looking at what Haggai has to say about that in a moment or two. I was reading one commentator and he looked at David, that King David in the Old Testament, how he fought a man called Goliath, a giant champion of the Philistine army. And it was thinking about perspective. And in that, this commentator said, when Goliath came against the Israelites, the soldiers were afraid. And they thought, their thinking was that he was too big, we'll never kill him. He was a huge man. And yet a young man called David looked at the same giant and thought, he's so big, I can't miss him. It's really interesting, isn't it? Our outlook, half full, half empty, or he's too big, we can't kill him, or he's so big, I can't miss him. I suppose when David saw the giant, he looked past the giant and saw God, who was bigger and greater. And I suppose that's the key that we're looking at this morning, today, this afternoon, in your life tomorrow, whatever time it might be, is this idea of our outlook in God upon our lives, and getting that at the very centre of our lives. Outlook is so important. Haggai speaks into the need of a kingdom perspective. And in Haggai chapter 2, verses 3 to 9, we read a number of things. And I'm just going to look at those just for a moment or two, reading from the NIV. He says, who of you is left who saw this house, he's referring to the temple that they're building, in its former glory? How does it look to you now? It's a rhetorical question. Does it not seem to you like nothing? But now be strong, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all of you people of the land, declares the Lord. And work, for I am with you. I'm in this, he's saying, declares the Lord Almighty. A little bit later on in verse 6, that was verses 4, in verse 6 it says, this is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, and the sea and the dry land. I will shake all the nations, and what is desired by all the nations will come. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. Haggai speaks now for a second time. And on this occasion, it looks as if some of the people were saying, look, what we're building, what we're rebuilding, what we're repairing, it's not a patch on what used to be. They're looking back at Solomon's temple. Maybe some of the people would have remembered it. The majority didn't. But they were harking back to a time 50 to 70 years before, where there was the glory of the Temple of Solomon, which was renowned around the world. And now here they were renewing, repairing the temple. And yet there were obviously some people saying, it's not a patch on what we're doing. What's the point of all of this? You know, and what Haggai does, he speaks into the heart and life of the people, giving them a perspective of God, a kingdom perspective. You know, God can be in the rubble of our apparent feeble attempts on life. In the rubble and what they considered a feeble attempt of rebuilding a temple, Haggai says that God is in this, he's with you. And you know, for you and I, in our attempts on life, and maybe our feeble attempts, maybe we might not think it amounts to much, and we don't see it, and we don't see him. Or maybe you don't even see him working. You know, we sing a song, don't we? Maybe many of you have sung Waymaker. When I don't see him, God is still working, we say. And this is what Haggai is saying. You know, when you don't see it, God is here. God is with you. God is in this. We need to be able to see that from a God perspective. And he's saying, compared to Solomon's temple, the temple of the past, that people were saying is nothing compared to what we see now. And yet, yes, we should look back. We learn. The Israelite people always look back to learn from the past. But looking back was to help them move forward, not stay back. And for you and I, we maybe look on our lives and look back on things in church and life and my life, and we can see and we rejoice when God has helped us and we've walked and known him. But it's not to keep us back there. Those days, they were brilliant. It's also to look at that to take us forward. And so Haggai says, you know, what you see today, the glory will be greater than that which was even former, which is quite a spectacular thing. God says the glory of this present temple will be greater than that of the past. And he's looking forward to a time in of the Messiah when Jesus said, you know, destroy this temple, because the temple they were rebuilding would be later destroyed many thousands of years later by the Romans for one final time in AD 70. But Jesus said this, destroy this temple and in 3 days it will be rebuilt. He's speaking of himself. And there's a greater glory coming. And what they were doing was preparing for a greater glory. They didn't see that. Of course, it was thousands of years ahead. But God gives a perspective. He wants a kingdom perspective. What we might see now might not seem to us anything, but God could be in it, is in it, and it could be opening up to something amazing. It's getting his greater picture for our lives and for our hearts. Now, that there's a problem with perspective. There are issues with perspective and outlook and looking on life and your look and my look and on life and my take and your take on life. You know, we're encouraged sometimes to look within. You know, get the strength from within you. You know, have the courage within you. You can do this. Dig deeper in yourself. And I understand that. And there's perhaps a little bit of merit in that. But it's not just that. And we were also encouraged to maybe look down. You know, be pragmatic. What have you got? What's in your hands? You can only do with what you've got. Maybe look at where you are. Look at what you have. And I get that. I understand that. You know, there are practical moments in our times. But it's not just about what we see before us, looking right down. Sometimes we also then we look out, we look at our circumstance, or a natural thing to do, and look at how that can't be done, or what's against us, or how much I haven't got, or this doesn't amount to much, or that's too great a thing to do, or this isn't the season or time to do it. And I understand that, and there's some merit in that, and you know, looking within, looking at down at what we have, looking out, But how about this? There is something even greater. We need to look up. We not only need to look within, look down, look out, but we need to look up. I did a whole series some years ago called Up, which was getting God's view on our lives. You know, insight comes from upsight, seeing God, looking towards God. The psalmist in Psalm 121, verses 1 to 2, the psalmist says this, I lift up my eyes to the hills or the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So the psalmist, they're saying, look up, look towards God, look to heaven, look to him, look to the creator of the universe. He is the helper and maker of all things. And so there's an upside, there's a looking up, and for you and I to look towards God, to get God insight. You know, God makes possible that which is impossible. He has ability where I have limited ability. He has all ability. You know, I see small and God sees all. And that's not just a little, you know, fun statement, but it's a fact, as far as I feel, for my own heart and life. And maybe, you know, might not feel that for you. But humans, we see small. We only see part, but God sees all. I see small, God sees all. So we need to have God's perspective. And God's presence gives perspective as we look to him. It's interesting, in the New Testament, I quoted from the Old Testament there in the Psalms, but in the New Testament, Paul speaks about perspective. And in the second letter to the Corinthians in chapter 4, verses 17 to 18, he says this, for our for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. And then this is what he says. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So we fix our eyes in the light of what we're experiencing on this earth. Paul was saying about himself right now, as a missionary, with all the obstacles and the challenges and the danger that he was facing and the upsets and the joys, he says, what I see right now is only limited and transitory compared to what God has for me and what God sees and what God can do. And so he says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. And he's speaking about to fix our eyes up to heaven, to God, to the Holy Spirit, seeing God's getting God's view for our hearts and lives. You know, I would want to suggest to you, in a post-pandemic period, as we're coming perhaps gradually out of a pandemic, we need kingdom perspective. You and I need God outlook on what is going on in our lives, around our lives, and even into our circumstance around us and in this world. So what can we do? And just in the next couple of minutes, just to apply that. So, we can look up. We need this perspective and we need a kingdom perspective. Paul shares, in my view, I feel that Paul shares three pillars of perspective, three things that can help us fix our eyes on what is not seen. Fix our eyes on Jesus, fix our eyes on God, and get a God or kingdom perspective. And in the first letter of the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13, and I'm quoting from the New Living Translation, he says this, three things will last forever, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest is love. And there's these three practical things I just want to just take a couple of minutes on, is in applying a kingdom perspective. When speaking to those Corinthians in the first letter, he's writing to a group of people that were arguing, fighting with one another, had different views, my view, your view, this view, that view, and they had different views on life, on church, on food, eating in the marketplace, on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so Paul speaks into that and gives three pillars of perspective that he says they will remain or abide or last forever. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest, he goes on to say, is love. And faith. Faith is trusting God no matter what we see or feel. It's a trust in God no matter what I feel or see. And I want you to be encouraged today that Jesus said this, you only need trust or faith, the grain of a mustard seed, and you can see mountains moved. How about that? Maybe this morning you think, oh, faith, oh, yeah, maybe you're hurting this morning or today, or you don't know what you're going to face and you're hurting. And Jesus said, faith, the grain of a mustard seed. Trust, mustard seed is smaller than almost like a grain of sand. It's so small, and that's all that it takes. And I want you to be encouraged. You know, the size of a mustard seed can move mountains. And so today, trust. Let's trust God with our lives. Trust Him with our families. Trust Him with your job. Trust Him with our nation. Trust Him with our church. Trust Him with your heart. Trust Him with our children. Even with a small ounce of mustard seed, let's trust Him today. And you'll find that you begin to experience God's view on life. Hope, he says, the second thing, hope. Hope in the New Testament, and in the way in when Paul was using it, would have been certain and future. Hope used in the New Testament looks forward, tends to look forward to today, tomorrow, a new day, possibilities, and it also carries the idea of certainty. So it's certain forward, and the idea there, it looks towards, it's founded on the resurrection of Jesus. Our hope, and Paul will often write about this, is grounded and founded on the fact that Jesus died and rose again. And there's a hope of salvation. There's a future hope of being with Him face to face. You know, that what is impossible can be made possible because of Jesus defeating the death and the grave. And so there's this amazing hope So Paul says, you know, we'll grieve as the world, but not as the world, and not without hope, because there's this certain future channel of the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ that gives us all of God's possibilities. And so today, let's put our hope and trust in him and look forward through the power of his resurrection to all the things that he could do tomorrow in your heart and maybe my life. And then finally, he says, love, faith, hope, and love. These are the things that can give us the pillars of perspective. And love, you know, it's God's love for me and my love for him. This is the idea of grounded in relationship. Hope is grounded in the resurrection, but love of God is grounded in a relationship. And let's open our hearts to a relationship with God and say, God, this is my life. I want to love you. I love you. And as soon as you begin to do that, you'll start to feel and know the love, the unconditional, unmerited, gracious, all-conquering power of the love of God for your heart and for your life, and to be held in the arms of a loving Heavenly Father. For God so loves the world that he gave his one and only Son. That whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And so there's this understanding that perhaps today, you know, I don't need a bird's eye view of life, but I need a God's eye view. Perspective, kingdom perspective, not a bird's eye view to better look down, but a God's eye view on your life, my life, and what's going on. And so to do that, let's fix our eyes on him. Let's trust him. Let's hope in him. Let's love him. And let's lay hold then of a kingdom perspective. God bless you. Thank you for listening and joining us today. Thank you.
I've had questions without answers.